Up headlines.
Celtics lost to the Pacers 99-97 last night at the TD Garden. Coach Brad Stevens, you had a chance with one more play to tie it up or even take the lead.
Well, it was a unique situation because
that's loud.
They go back to the clock. If they go back to the video and determine that the ball is still in the passer's hands, the ball's on the baseline. If they go back and determine the ball was between, had left the passer's hands, it's on the sideline. So we had a look off of our typical baseline inbounds that they did a pretty good job, I thought. But Terry got not a great look, but a shot that, you know, I've seen him make before.
So that's it. They fall 99-97. Next up, they take on the Wizards on Wednesday night. Bruins played back-to-back home and homes against the Blackhawks over the weekend. They lost yesterday's game in Chicago 3-1. Anton Khudobin was in net. Zdeno Chara scoring the lone goal for the Bruins in that contest. Brackets are set for the men's college basketball tournament. Virginia, Xavier, Villanova, and Kansas are the top seeds. Boston College is in the NIT. They'll play Western Kentucky tomorrow night. And Tiger Woods nearly forced a playoff at the Valspar Championship yesterday. He sank a 40-foot birdie putt on 17 to get to 9-under par, and that's where he stayed. He, along with Patrick Reed, finished as runners-up to Paul Casey at 10-under par. Headlines are brought to you by Drs. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti. Call 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app today.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Listen live.
I don't buy this for a second.
Podcasts, tweets, and more.
Love it.
Available in the App Store and Google Play.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, you have your wife, you have your kids, you have to find that balance. When it does become time to retire, how much does that factor into your decision?
Well, that would be a big part of it. I think you can't make decisions necessarily just for yourself. And I think that's one thing I've learned as I've gotten older. There's collateral effects to every decision that I make. And, you know, I have a wife that is very, you know, aspires to be a lot of things, and she travels a lot. And, you know, our kids, my oldest son lives here in New York, and, you know, three kids, and you're just always trying to juggle, and you want to be there for them, and you want to be there for the hockey games and the soccer games, and you know, but you also realize the level of commitment it takes to give as much as you can to the team that needs you. So again, I think you're always trying to find that. I think most professionals probably feel the same way. It's sometimes it gets out of balance, and you got to figure out how to, you know, bring it back to a point where it feels great for, you know, for everybody involved.
Michael Strahan on Good Morning America today. 617-779-0985. Coming up at 11:20, so special guest for you, buddy. I booked this one just for you.
I appreciate it.
Dave Marciano from Wicked Tuna. Hard merchandise. Captain. Captain Dave Marciano.
You do this, it's like getting a Dwight Schrute for me, too. Because there's two shows that I will sit there. And, like, this weekend, I think Saturday was a day where, like, Saturday night, The Office, there was a marathon on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
It's bang, 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 bang. I also watch on Netflix. I just keep watching it and watching it. Wicked Tuna is the same.
You love
it. And Frontier Alaska, too. You bring Oxley on or something. Yeah.
Let's go to the phones in the meantime. Manny's in Reading. Manny, what do you got?
Manny.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Manny.
How are you guys doing today?
Manny. Good.
I got a quick question, guys. Now that Talib and Shermer are out of the table, can you see the Patriots maybe going after Rodgers Cromartie?
A little long in the tooth, if you ask me. Past his prime. Not sure it'd be worth it.
I'd be more into going after Talib. If you're going to be in that ballpark and you're going to pay a corner $8 or $9 million to play opposite Gilmore, You roll with Talib. You get in the mix and say, we'll guarantee the money, too.
So the Giants cut him because he wouldn't take a pay cut, right?
Yeah.
That was their reasoning?
That's the same thing with Sherman. How'd it work out for Sherman? Coming off Achilles surgeries, too. If he plays and gets on the field, he's going to make his money. Didn't affect him too much.
I would say
I called that sucker Friday, man. I said he's staying in San Fran. He's going to San Fran. They will not let him leave. A lot of money. This is the solder issue here, guys. This is it. Teams like that, teams like San Francisco, got a lot of money to spend that need to get better quickly. A team's got a chance.
My
to get
fear
good.
About Rodgers Cromartie is that you've just seen the drop off. He was good a couple of seasons ago.
He's malcontent and, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that team was a mess, so I don't know that.
Yeah,
I would...
but they tolerated. Didn't he like walk out and just didn't show up? And just, there were issues here. Oh, or am I thinking Apple?
I think you're one of the corners. Eli Apple.
No, I think it was Apple. I'm sorry, it's one of the corners on that team. They just in and out. They didn't know if he was going to show up and play. God, can you imagine that locker room?
I think what is he? 32?
He's up there, dude. He's getting there.
I think he's the same age. I believe, don't quote me. I'll look it up right now.
Sherman's 29. I think Aqib's 31.
Aqib's going to be 32, if not already. Yep. Yeah. I'll tell you right now, he is 30. He's going to be 32 in like 3 weeks.
No, thank you.
He's about to turn 32.
No, don't think
32,
so.
32, coming off a bad year.
This is where teams get in trouble, because you see the name, right?
Yes.
It's a popular name. Dominique Rodgers Cromartie. Everybody knows it. You know, this is the same thing when Antonio Cromartie was out there, too.
If he's cheap.
Ooh, you remember his guy? You remember on. His days with San Diego?
If he's cheap, I'd take the flyer. But I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not paying the $10 million contract.
God,
$10 million
no.
a year for a guy like them. No.
No.
No. Let's go to Bill, who's in Nashua. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
Hi, Bill.
The one thing missing from the Brady Strahan interview would have been Brady shouting out to Alex Girl, referencing him as an ambassador of Quan. That would have been good. That would have been amazing interview.
My ambassador of Quan.
So my question to you is,
show me the money, Jerry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, show me the money, Jerry.
That's right.
Zoe didn't get the reference
show
at
me
first.
The money.
Zoe, you killed me. You didn't get the reference of all people.
That's right. Cuba did it. That's right.
So they got $20 million. They got $23 million to play with. Who are the free agents that are out there that still in need and are worthy of that $23 million? Because the way that I've looked at the
their own,
Nate sold it. Nate sold is really the only guy. So I don't necessarily disagree with the Patriots holding back and see what the market sets for him and then making a decision. But unless you think there's other guys that they could fill in, I'd be curious to hear it.
I would not let him go to the market. By the way, Nate Solder, I'd be very aggressive on right now trying to get that deal done.
Are you calling teams that need receiver right now?
I would say for Brandon Cooks,
yeah.
To move Cooks.
Because to get that money off the books.
I wouldn't rule it out.
I wouldn't rule that out either.
Did you see the video of Malcolm Mitchell that popped up on the interwebs over the weekend?
Did not.
It's running pretty good.
Yeah, he was running pretty good at the end of the year, too, and we were getting all giddy and tickly.
No, but like strapped to one of those sleds behind him.
I saw Edelman doing that.
Running. Yeah. Running. Knee looks strong.
I'm strong like wood.
I hate to buy in on that crap, because I think all the players lie to you about how good they feel. I think they all lie.
Beto, I could hook you up with one of them sleds. You could run, you'd be bent over.
Right,
running,
so here's my thing. How much does that sled weigh? How much weight is on that thing that you're pulling?
What kind of surface is it? Synthetic surface where it slides nice?
It appeared to be.
Put a little no-stick spray on the bottom of that? Just like Clark Griswold did before he went down that hill?
Okay, silicone adhesive.
Bingo.
Bingo.
I don't know if I should be going down that hill, Clark.
Pat in the car on Tom Brady. Pat?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Pat.
Sorry. So I think between the Strahan interview and that other interview that you're hearing, mm-hmm. it sounds like to me like he's going to be sooner than later. I think a lot of it's going to depend on where the team is at after this year. You know, if they look like they're trending backwards, he's not going to stick around for a rebuild or any of that. I mean, and he's got Giselle and the kids to think about also. So, you know, the guy says that he's a very caring person and a smart guy. So, I don't know. I just think it's going to be sooner than later, guys.
What do you mean sooner than later? Like 2 years?
I think he's retiring. I just
when?
Don't think that
when? Give me a time.
Around at least 45,
wait, you think this is his last year?
No, I don't like. Well,
what if an IRA from now
the
drops?
The team's going in, though. If it looks like they're trending backwards, you think he's going to stick around for another 3 years to rebuild the team and get him back to Super Bowl contention?
Well, his contract is coming up, you know.
We'll see how it goes. But I think
wouldn't that be something?
I'm just saying.
Wouldn't it be something that that's the kicker at the end of the Chopra documentary? I'm excited. I'm excited to attack the offseason for my final year. Wouldn't that be the zinger of
that's
all zingers?
That's not happening today.
Mm-mm-mm. Tom versus time. Tick, tick, tick.
Tick, tick, tick. Jeremy in D.C. Jeremy, what do you have for us?
Hey, Zoe.
Hey.
Peterson is about to get cut by the Cards. I know we talked about it last year. Do you think he could be a good fit as kind of a Corey Dillon?
No. No.
The fact it didn't work with the Saints or you know, Sean Payton, sort of that same coaching style, Bill's respect for each other. Bill likes Peterson as a runner, but this was, God, what was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
You like Steven Jackson as a runner, too. How did that work out?
That's a good point.
He liked Fred, was it Fred Jackson? Who was the guy?
It's too much, can't throw him the ball. No. I'd say no. How old's he? God. Talk about running backs.
Fred Taylor. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, God.
Fred Taylor at the end. Liked him as a runner, too.
Maurice Jones, Drew. I didn't recognize him. My God, I saw him at the end of the year. Whew. Got big. Yeah. He's like big like Chris Darden.
We'll Jimmy in New Hampshire is a no on Dominique Rogers Cromartie.
What's up, Jimmy?
Nothing, guys. What's up?
What do you got?
So, a buddy of mine, he's a Giants fan, and when he got released, Cromartie got released. He laughed and said, oh, you know, the Patriots fans are going to be wanting to pick him up. Have fun with a new slot receiver. I mean, slot cover, because all he does is play. He doesn't play the outside anymore. The Giants played him all year in the slot, so I'm completely out on him. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because his level of play, it dropped off in a big way last
year.
That's
a scheme thing, too. Slot guys are normally not your best guys. That's why they kick him inside with help. You get inside help from the backer, over-the-top help with the safety. Usually. Now, you're on an island on the outside. Now, you could say, well, you got the boundary also that could help you defend a receiver. But still, you're on an island out there. Slot guys, usually smaller, more diminutive guys that quick in space just aren't really fast. You got to have fast guys on the outside, too. You got to be able to run, man. So much of this game is you got to be able to run, recovery, all that.
All right, coming up next, we take a quick football break.
Do some fishing.
We'll talk fishing.
Put a couple slobs on that deck.
Talk boats.
Yeah.
Talk fishing. Talk tuna. With Dave Marciano of Wicked Tuna and Hard Merchandise.
So
excited for this one. We'll talk to him
like
coming up
next. Schoolgirl.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
I gotta say, though, these snow totals are all over the map here. Literally and figuratively, all over the map.
God forbid.
Oh, Beetle.
Oh, it's his day today.
Hardy's a little amped up today for a Monday.
Who's the guy that Felger likes from the Globe?
No idea.
No, the weather guy.
The guy who writes the weather for the Globe?
Why would you like a weather guy from the Globe?
Because he's
an old man.
No, he's no frills, and he's very accurate, and he gives you, I think this is the one I'm looking at right here.
Yeah, but he can't give you a forecast in real time because they publish the paper.
Yeah, I just got it in my email.
They publish the paper once a day.
Okay, not from the physical paper, but from the Boston Globe. They have other means of distributing and disseminating information.
So he updates the forecast
online?
Yes,
online and in tweets and all that stuff. Tuesday's Nor'easter. Is expected to bring snowfall amounts ranging from 12 to 18 inches, Boston surrounding area.
Talk about being vague.
Through Plymouth County and northern Barnstable
somewhere
County.
Give me a
0 to 24 inches.
Inches of fudge, to one way or the other.
Northern.
We nailed it.
Barnstable County could get 24 inches or more.
That's the Cape is going to get whacked.
Can you fish in a nor'easter? Can you go on a boat?
It's
fish?
A fair question. Can we ask someone who does fishing?
Let's get an expert on
for a living from Wicked Tuna, Dave Marciano. The captain joins us now.
No way.
On the expert hotline. Dave?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Can you fish in a nor'easter?
You can, but it isn't going to be fun.
Dave, I'm a big fan of the show. It's Zolak, and I religiously watch. I watch reruns. How much does tuna.com bug you the other Dave?
He is actually not bad, right? Dave's problem is he's very competitive, so he can tend to get under your skin a little bit. But when it comes down to it, after tuna season, when he's not fishing, he's a real nice guy.
Real nice guy. See, he seems like a type A guy where he's so particular about his boat. You're a salt of the earth guy. Like, your boat has already sank, right? I recall the boat sank.
Hey, yep.
Now, why would you why would you bring it back to life? Yep. Why would you bring it back to life instead of buying a new one?
Because it's, you know, that boat means a lot to me. It's more sentimental value than anything else. And look, the bottom line is the boat is fiberglass, right? So it's basically plastic. So everything got wet, right? So we gutted it right to the keel. We put a new engine, new wiring, and all new electronics. And basically it was like a brand new boat.
So we had a discussion on this show a couple of weeks ago about the cost of boats.
Yeah.
Why are they so damn expensive? Why are they so expensive? Not really your commercial type of boats, but, you know, if you want to buy a 30-foot boat, it seems like the price is a little much.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. I can't imagine, you know, owning a boat for fun. You know, my boat has a purpose. It's a work boat. It's how I make a paycheck. You know, I couldn't even imagine having enough disposable income to own a boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't fathom that.
We're talking with Dave Marciano from Wicked Tuna. What the show doesn't tell is when you leave the dock and you go out and you fish, how long are you away? Like, not talking about going out to the banks, out to Georgia's banks and that, but like an average tuna trip, how long does that take?
You know, I bet the average trip is 24 hours at least. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's one day, and sometimes it takes us 3 days to put a trip together, you know? And that's pretty much for all the boats, you know? We go out, we put ice, we bring food, and we stay there until we get the fish.
So last night was the start of now the seventh season of Wicked Tuna. Started last night. Have you been surprised at the success of the show and how long this has lasted, and have you gotten used to it at this point?
Oh, yeah. No, we're very fortunate because it's certainly been an opportunity of a lifetime for us. And, yes, it's gone a lot further than any of us ever imagined. Because not only we had the Season 7 airing for the Gloucester show back home, I'm actually in the Outer Banks right now, and we just wrapped up filming Season 5 of the Southern show. So, I mean, this whole thing, you know, you went from the original show to a spinoff show, that's now in Season 5, so it has. It's gone much longer than any of us ever expected.
Now, is your son back on the boat this year?
Yeah, my son is there, along with my daughter. The crewman who is missing is Jay.
Yeah, Jay.
Who people have, right? He's my nephew, but, you know, Jay lives with his girl in Alaska now, and they got two dogs, and he's happy as a clam up there. You know, there was no falling out. That just seemed to be the next chapter in Jay's life. So we brought my oldest daughter, Angelica, aboard and, you know, rounded off the team for this season. And we had a great time and we got a lot of fish.
Is Jay fishing up there? What's he doing up there?
They're living off the land.
Basically he's living off the land. You know, he was doing some fishing. I think he was on a salmon trawler, a few months ago, and then his next gig was going to be working on a dive boat for the gooey duck clams up there. But,
oh, my God.
You know, he's staying busy, but he's just happy. He's with his girl, and they're living the dream up there.
How bad are the chum buckets? How bad do they smell? Would I puke if I got within 5 feet of one?
No, we scrub them out good. They ain't too bad.
Ain't too bad. How many packs of cigarettes will you go through on one trip? Because you always got one in the mouth when you're on the show.
I know. Well, they, you know, look, that's part of my character.
Yeah.
There are actually moments where I'm not smoking, but those hit the editing room floor. But look, yeah, I'm like everybody, man. I do wish I could quit smoking, but it's tough.
What's the biggest one you've pulled on deck? And we call them slobs because that's what they call the big tunas. What's the biggest one you got?
1,200 pounds.
1,200 pounds. That's a big one. Normally now on the show, the big ones are like 700. Like, I can't remember any 1,200s on the show.
Right. No. This was before filming. We haven't got one that big. But, yeah, this year, I think if I recall, you'll probably see a couple that will be pretty close to that 1,000-pound mark before it's over.
We're talking with Captain Dave Marciano, hard merchandise from Wicked Tunas, Scott Zolak's favorite show of all time.
That's my favorite boat.
Nonstop.
It's a scrappy boat.
That's right. Favorite boat on the show.
Your little stickers on there, all stuff. You see all little logos.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, watching it now.
The stickers are the only thing holding her together.
Yeah, I used to have an uncle that, to pass inspection, he'd put bumper stickers all over his bumper so you can't see the rust holes.
That's right.
All right, Dave. Well, we appreciate the time. Appreciate you checking in. Best of luck out there.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All see right. you, Dave.
That's your favorite guy on that show.
He's
always a little starstruck.
He's a townie.
He's an easy guy to like.
The guy's just, I don't care what my boat looks like, what it smells like. Let's go fishing. Let's get some bait and some cigarettes. We eat peanut butter sandwiches.
The other Dave. What's the other Dave's last name?
Oh, I forget his name.
.com.
He's a pilot, too.
Yeah, he flies for JetBlue.
Yeah.
The JetBlue pilot.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's that, and then but he seems like a guy, like people that lease a new car every 2 or 3 years. That's like how he treats boats. Like, you can tell he's just going to get a new boat all the time.
He just takes care of his boat. It's the same boat.
No, he got a new boat. He's not the same boat from the beginning.
Really?
They got a new boat.
Ooh.
Johnny on Twitter wanted you guys to ask him, why do they call it tuna fish? Why don't they call it beef mammal or chicken bird?
I don't think the guys on the boat say tuna fish. Don't they just say tuna? I mean, we could.
It's not wicked tuna fish. It's just wicked tuna.
People do say tuna fish. You're right. I don't know why we.
They call it bluefin or yellowfin.
Yeah, but he wants to know why you have to add the word fish in.
Tuna.
You don't call it chicken mammal.
Chicken of the sea.
Why do you have to add the fish after tuna?
Right. Hey, let's eat some turkey bird. No.
Wait a minute, I'm confused.
You just say turkey.
What other types of fish are there that you would eat? A salmon. You don't say salmon fish.
Right.
Hey, let's go catch a salmon fish.
Right.
Let's go catch a codfish.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'll have a codfish sandwich.
Yeah, see, no, codfish is kind of a thing.
It works almost.
They kind of say codfish sometimes.
Salmon does not work.
Word,
salmon
isn't
fish.
It? Isn't codfish the word?
I don't know. Cod. Big cod, big
like
scrod.
Cape Cod. They don't call it Cape Cod fish.
Scrod is like catch of the day, right?
Yeah, it can be a number of
That's
different.
That's cheapy.
It can be a number of
it's
different.
It's a white, flaky,
It could
good,
be a number
cheap.
Of different fish
mm.
is what it could be.
Swordfish.
I like how he agrees with us on the boats being too damn expensive.
Yeah, That's and how ridiculous. He couldn't imagine owning a boat for pleasure. Like, what would be the point of that?
You mean you're rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Ain't cheap.
Remember the rent is too damn high party, right? There should be the boats are too damn expensive party.
Yeah.
Is what it should be.
Yeah. You want to know how much money you don't have? Go to a boat show and just look at the sticker price.
Like, which we encourage everybody to do. Boat show.
Yeah.
Sponsor.
Absolutely.
Makes you want a boat. Tell you that.
Go buy a boat.
Ooh. Then you can put gas in that boat. How much you pay to fill your
gas is too damn high.
How much you pay to fill your trucks up, guys?
Damn high. Coming up next, let's get to the Celtics from last night. Kyrie Irving left the game midway through, did not return. The sore knee has returned for Kyrie Irving. We'll get to that coming up after headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Yes, as Beetle just mentioned, Kyrie Irving did not play in the second half last night, and the Celtics ended up losing 99-97. A sore knee kept him out of action for the second half. As the Celtics will now regroup and try and get a win as they stay home to take on the Wizards on Wednesday night. The Bruins played back-to-back games over the weekend, the home and home against the Blackhawks. They won on Saturday at the Garden, but Sunday fell 3-1 in Chicago. Next up for the Bees, the start of the four-game road trip started yesterday, so tomorrow night it will continue in Carolina. And move on to play the Panthers on Thursday. Saturday, they take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Headlines are brought to you by MassachusettsCosmetic.com, offering a huge New Year's special on testosterone replacement therapy and Gainswave treatments, 877-577-5476. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We don't know what it is above general knee soreness, and I think that's the case. But we will, and get, you know, as much testing if we need to as we do, but we think it's general knee soreness. And he doesn't seem overly concerned big picture-wise with it, but it's obviously been giving him fits here and there for the last 5 to 8 days or so. We would have done that anyways coming into tonight's game if we thought that was going to be the way it was tonight, like at the end of the day, for sure. If he doesn't feel 100%, then we need to have him sit. And so I think that's something that, you know, we've all talked about, and that was why he didn't come back in.
Brad Stevens, after taking Kyrie Irving out of the game last night, midway through, Adam Himmelsbach had this tweet prior to the game last night, saying, interesting mini subplot for today. Celtics seem most likely to get the 2 seed. Pacers are in the mix for the 3 seed, and I think the Celtics would love if the Pacers were the 3 seed and the Pacers went over the seas today, makes it more likely. So if you're a believer in conspiracy theories, you think maybe the Celtics took Kyrie out at halftime to, I don't know, lose the game? Maybe?
No, they wouldn't have dressed him then.
That's how I feel. Yeah, I don't buy into the conspiracy
theory. Not this coach. No, not this coach, not this GM. No. No. No, you don't mess with your team that way.
I think it's legit.
Then you're playing with karma in that. Yeah, I do, because you hear the tone.
We heard the tone with Brad Stevens when he talked to us last week.
Sure did.
He did not sound positive about Kyrie's knee then.
And he's pretty open, but he says, I will defer to him. Can we pull that up?
Sure, we can get that.
Yeah, we'll find it. But Kyrie's tone here over the week, you know, we kind of joked about it. You know, well, he makes too many foul shots. You know, just trying to teach him a lesson. That's kind of changed into a little bit of concern with the tone and how he's talking. Like, tells me, okay, it's the last thing you want is this guy to fall apart in playoffs. Or he can't move, can't be effective. He'll be able to move, he'll be able to push through it. But you want him to play the way he did a Saturday ago, where he and Al were bad on the same night? You'll be out in 5. Any updates on the knee? Just some soreness from Saturday playing through it?
He was pretty sore yesterday. I don't have any update this morning. He'll be day to day. We have an optional shooting day where we've got a gym, but we don't have practice today. We're going to reconvene once we fly to Minnesota tomorrow in Minnesota and practice, and then see how he feels tomorrow. I'll have a better idea tomorrow, but you know, it could be one of those things where he feels a lot better and is able to play, but could also be one of these, you know, things where he misses a couple. You know, we'll see how he's doing. We're obviously going to be very conservative with him right now.
Is there an expectation that knee will require surgery at some point? There have been previous reports that it did need surgery.
I think that ultimately, those are things that I'll let him answer. But I think that ultimately it's something that we always have to be alert to because of the fact that he had surgery 2 years ago. And so we've been very conscious of that all season, and you know, both in practice and in games. And he's, you know, he has had very little issue with it all year, but it does require the appropriate appropriate maintenance day to day, and this is one of the very rare circumstances where he's experienced a little bit more soreness. And so again, we just want to be cautious about it.
They were trying to downplay it. He was trying to downplay it, saying, you know, it's been very rare that he's had to deal with this. And
he doesn't stammer much. He stammered.
Yeah, this hasn't been an issue. And
he's very careful.
Very careful, very cautious. Selective with his answer.
Thinking while he talks.
Straight out of the gate, was going to defer to Kyrie about what the future surgery will be on his knee.
Okay, was that part of the deal when you made the trade? To where a player's coming here, hey, we need full disclosure, we understand what the injury is, but trust us, we may want you to get something done, but ultimately it's going to be on the player.
So,
I mean, this is that part of the deal to where he's got to be careful. I'm going to defer to Kyrie. Danny, same thing. It's, you know, this is something Kyrie's going to have to deal with. He's got sort of that Pedroia chronic knee thing.
Yeah,
maybe.
So when Kobe Altman was calling the Celtics saying, yeah, you know, I'm not so sure about Isaiah and this hip thing, Were the Celtics on the other end of the line going, hey, Kobe, go bleep yourself. You know what the issues are with Kyrie's knee. Was that going on? I wonder. Now that we've kind of gotten to a point where the knee is clearly an issue for Kyrie Irving, and it's given him some issues, and do I think that it's going to ruin him long term?
Absolutely.
No. I don't think it's going to do that. I think he could go get it cleaned up and he'll be okay.
If you know, it reminds me when I was at the damn combine. Because they want to know everything in your health history. And you fill out a sheet, and they got all the stuff from college and any surgery that you had. I didn't have any surgeries. But I wrote on there, I went to a chiropractor once a week just to get adjusted because it feels good. Well, what's wrong with your back? Then they end up taking like x-rays and all this different stuff with my back. Now all of a sudden, red indicator about a back. And if that concerns like that for a pro team, and you know the Kyrie Irving, the guy, one of the best in his position, had surgery on the knee, you're going to research that. Of course there's going to be concern there. Start talking about patella tendon and all that. That's soreness, man. That's chronic arthritis. Right there under that knee. Right there under that kneecap. Don't touch it there. That's sore. How's surgery fix that? Something you got to deal with. That's like it's a tendonitis type thing. Especially if there's no bone rubbing on it. Scary. I'm worried about like him being like 95% effective. Nobody's going to be 100%. No, once the playoffs start, these guys are all sore. Al's dealing with something. You know, we saw it with Isaiah, but how effective will he be? Can he take over games? Can he explode? Like, he looked sluggish that Saturday and hasn't been the same guy since. I think we're getting a little concerned here. That's a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. You know,
I'd be concerned. I'd be concerned about where this is going to go. I asked last week. I said, oh, no, are we going to be in a spot? Kyrie's knee is the new Isaiah's hip. Like, come playoff time, are we dealing with that? Wondering what his health is going to be, and maybe we are. Maybe that's where it's headed.
It's interesting how the
maybe
team...
Maybe not. Maybe he's going to be fine.
It's interesting how the team defers to the player, though.
The more that happens, the more I think it's worthy of your concern. One more thing to add on that happened Celtics-wise over the weekend. This happened late on Friday, so... Last week, we talked to Brad Stevens about Gordon Hayward after he had been asked about will he play this year, and he said in no uncertain terms, I don't know how many more ways I could say this, he's not going to play. We asked Brad if he was tired of those questions, and he said, no, I get it. I understand why people are going to ask those questions. Well, there's even more reason to keep asking those questions after Gordon Hayward said just on Friday that he is hopeful or is leaving hope that he'll be able to make a return before the end of the season. Are those two guys, you know, going to have a stare down here at some point over whether or not he gets to play?
No. No, you shut him down. Okay, yeah, what's more important? That he?
I get that they control whether or not he will play. I'm talking about will there be a problem between the two sides.
He seems like a smart guy. Understands it, right? I don't know.
Said on Friday, quote, the hope is still there for a return. The hope is still there. He is still hoping for a return.
What month did he get hurt? Right? What?
October?
October, right? Yeah. Start of the season.
Yeah.
October, November. Wow. Some fast healing ligaments.
He did admit that he's not thinking about it, that he's taking it day by day.
You also want him to work.
But the hope is still there.
You want him to keep working, keep grinding with maybe the hope to be there just so that he's that much more right when he comes back next year. Because you tell a guy you're not playing this year, it's kind of, I don't say limits your rehab, but I don't think the intensity is there like it would be if you're pushing, trying to get back, you know, doing the extra treatments, extra icing, extra stim, you know, constantly being on top of it. You know, the awareness. Same thing with like Bergeron, right?
Mm-hmm,
Stay off the foot. Don't you dare put any pressure on that foot. We're trying to get you back as quick as we can. We're doing everything to maximize it and shorten that rehab. So you shut a guy down for the year and you say you put a guy on injured reserve. It gives you like no hope to come back. You're not clawing at the bit. You're not chomping at the bit to get in there and get your treatment done like you would if you think you're getting close. So it could be just putting that out there to give him some hope. I don't know.
Hardy, I got some thoughts on golf. You want to talk some golf?
I would love to.
All right, we'll do that. Talk about some golf coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello, everybody. Paul Casey in the media room. Look,
That's media. thank you for tuning in today. It was awesome. I beat Tiger. Yes! It's like the first time in my career I can say that.
Awesome. What'd you make of Tiger's weekend, Hardy? I can tell you this. This is what I know about Tiger Woods at this stage of his career. He doesn't have to win. He doesn't actually have to win the tournament for it to be a better experience for the rest of us.
For now. As long as he's in there, he's in the hunt, he's in the last couple of groups, he's got a shot, for now, that's enough. Eventually, he will have to win to keep everyone's interest.
If he is competing and is in it on the fourth day every weekend this year, like he was yesterday, we're all hooked.
I watched golf for the first time in four
years.
We're
all in. I don't care how long that could go on. Hardy, that could
years?
Go on for 2 years, and I think we'd all be in for it.
He hit that putt on 17, and you're like, you got to be kidding me.
In fact, I think the chase of the next win is going to be more interesting than if he actually does it. Because if he actually wins, what are you going to say? Oh, there it is. He's back, especially if it's a major. If he were to win, you would say, oh, look at that. He got another one before he was done. Yeah. I think the interest would go down on the backside of it. I think the pursuit is what we're all hooked on.
Yep.
We're hooked on the pursuit and him getting close. And
coming up
actually
a foot
win?
Short. Coming up 2 feet yep. short yesterday. Send that sucker deck to a playoff. You see the crowds?
He's just yes.
You see the buzz? Do you hear it? You can it resonates through the TV. You get that nowhere else with any of these other players. I'm sorry.
Other players,
golf people,
said multiple times, not at just this tournament, but at the other ones he's played at this year, they said it's different on the golf course. You can hear the roar, and there's a difference between a Tiger just saved par type of roar and a Tiger just made birdie type of roar. You know where he is on the course, and it changes things. And other players who have been out there for a long time, when they were asked about it, there was one player in particular who said, yeah, I like it. If for no other reason, it shows the young guys who are out here now what we dealt with for years. To be playing with a guy who is that dialed in and is the ability to hit 2 iron off of most of those tees and put himself in position and knock a 7 iron,
2 iron
up onto the green at the age of 41 is Tiger now? 42?
Tiger, he's 42.
I didn't count. 42 years old, hitting a 7-iron 190 uphill into a slight breeze to put himself into position.
Is that
and
good?
That's because, yeah, it's pretty good. And you don't see a lot of 42-year-olds doing that. You also don't see a guy doing that on a day like yesterday when he said he wasn't as sharp as he was the day before. So he had to play to the middle of the greens and try and drain some putts. Meanwhile, Brent Snedeker, who I really like, who he was playing with, he fell off.
You see him watching him, just smiling?
Well,
as he starts heating it up at the end?
Because guys who play with him, when you get the galleries that size and there's so much energy around the group, you can feed off of it or it can drain the energy right out of you. And yeah. Sometimes guys have the energy drained out of them.
That's a good point.
But Beetle, as much fun as it would be to watch him and see him, you like get close and to kind of be like on the chase for a while, he's got to win again. He has to win again. I want him to win at least 3 more times. I want him to go past Sam Snead for the all-time wins number. And even though he's not going to catch Jack, and Jack's 18 major championships yeah. is going to remain probably forever, it at least puts him back into the conversation with, okay, he never caught Jack, but he won more than anybody ever. Don't you have to put him in the conversation for greatest of all time?
I want to see him win the Masters and the British one more time each. Like the other two, I don't. They're okay.
Yeah, yeah. So if he does that, then it's not a question. He's back in the conversation. Right now, he's not because he, as good as a year as he had in 2013, where he was Player of the Year and he won 5 times in 2013, he still hasn't won a major going back to the U.S. Open 10 years ago, and that's going to be the big sticking point for him. He needs, at the very least, more wins, and that's what I want. But here's the stat that I love from the weekend. You want the one that
I
love?
Yeah, I want your stat of the weekend. Give it to me.
People love the new players. You know, keep telling us, like, it's great that we got so many good young, fresh-faced, talented guys like Jordan Spieth.
I misspelled Spieth's name yesterday intentionally, and I got, you can't even spell his name right, because he's forgettable.
Justin Thomas. Well, you know why he was forgettable particularly yesterday, Zoe?
Oh, why? Why? Where was he?
On the couch.
Oh, he didn't make the cut.
He missed the cut. All right. Guys miss the cut occasionally.
Listen, turn your radio up.
Turn it up.
Jordan Spieth, 6 years on tour, has missed the cut 19 times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tiger Woods came on to the PGA Tour late 1996, turned pro. You know how many times Tiger has missed a cut?
How many? 22 years?
17 times.
So he's missed the cut fewer times than Jordan Spieth has in his career.
And up until
years. That is something.
2005, I believe, for the first... Actually, it may have all gone all the way to 2008. Do you know how many times he missed the cut in the first 12 years he was on tour?
Two.
Five. Five times.
Five times.
It's unheard of. And the fact that he's back, he had a chance to win that thing yesterday. Not against a bunch of scrubs, a real field. Not a 25-person hero world championship. No. Not a match play where you just have to beat one guy and then go on to beat the... No. Real golf tournament. And Tiger Woods, he's not going to be back until he wins.
I have a question.
But he is on his way back. And I know some people still don't like it. They don't think he deserves to be part of the conversation until he wins. Nonsense.
Please.
The guy's had the longest...
Who thinks that? Who does believe that?
Jim Louth. Jim Louth doesn't like the Tiger talk.
What?
Jim Louth is not a fan.
Please.
I don't mind the Tiger talk. He hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, the fact that he finished second yesterday in the tournament is doing something. It is. Whether you like it or think it's worthy,
I have a question.
He didn't hoist the Valspar Championship trophy, whatever the hell that is.
It didn't get me to watch. That's all.
You didn't,
well, look at you.
You had no interest in watching Tiger Woods one stroke off the lead. Even if it was just coming down to the final two holes when he drained a 40-plus foot birdie putt on 17 to come within one.
Needing, his golf ball's
needing
cooler.
A birdie at 18 to force a playoff, that doesn't interest you?
Didn't yesterday, no.
Oh my!
Too much
God.
Going on. If it was a slow day, maybe.
What the hell else was going on?
What was going on that time of day?
I watched the Bruins and the URI game early in the day. That's
Bruins
like 4 hours of sports.
Over. You should do an hour
over.
At URI.
6 o'clock last night.
Oh my God.
What was going on at 6 o'clock last night?
Selection show?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my God.
It's like we don't know him sometimes.
I got to watch golf over basketball.
You would rather
watch.
You're more
sports.
Interested in the idea of sports sometimes than you are sports.
Greatest ever.
I like
golfing,
sports.
Coming back.
I like the actual sport. I like the actual event. Like it when it's happening.
Yeah. I watched two live events yesterday.
Live events.
Watch a selection show.
I watched five Wicked Tuners and they're all taped. You know what I want to know? My question from yesterday? Locally, ratings wise, what won the day? Wouldn't it say something? If golf beat the Bruins, beat the Celtics.
The number for yesterday's tournament.
What do you think? I'm talking local.
Well, you're just, and you can't compare it to like Masters. You can't compare it to a major. You can't compare it to anything else. But I can't wait to see what that did ratings wise. Just compared to other run of the mill ho hum tournaments a few weeks before the Masters. Oh, not really, doesn't mean anything. With Tiger in there playing in one of the final groups, having a chance to win it, hitting the ball well.
I called Hardy yesterday. He's the Sports Hub. Sports Club Golf Show? Yeah. Sports Hub Club Golf Show?
Sports Hub Golf Club, thank you.
Sports Hub Golf Club.
Yep.
Director. I said, when should I be on my couch? I want to know when. Tell me when to be on my couch watching.
I told him.
And he's got me back. He's got me watching golf again. As long as he's in it. If he doesn't make the cut, I'm still turning it off. Sad. Ignorant, but...
No, he draws you to
he
it.
He sucks you in. Watch.
He even sucks in the golf fans.
I'm watching the crowds more
the
than I'm watching
that watch
him.
Watch on a regular basis are more excited about it.
Yes.
With Tiger's in it.
Yes.
It's not just about the casual fan.
No.
It's about the golf fan, too. Both groups are sucked in with Tiger, and there's nobody else in the sport.
It's something
like
about
just
him and Mickelson.
Nobody
him and Mickelson, man.
Else like it.
It's him and Mickelson.
And Mickelson won last week.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, give me those
in
two.
A playoff.
Coming down the stretch at the Masters.
And he got, you know, young, you know, salty guys like Patrick Reed. Who has a chance to win this thing, right? He's sitting at 10 under.
Patrick Reed, Beetle.
He's sitting at 10 under with two holes left to play. You know what he did?
Crapped his pants.
That's exciting.
putted the ball up the slope from a bad spot on the green where he left it, rolled right back down to where he was. Whoops-a-daisy.
Who says whoops-a-daisy?
He's different. He's
electric.
He may not win a ton more. He may not ever win ever again. But when he's in there, it's different because he's different. It changes things.
It's like Brady when he's on.
Whether Jim cares to admit it or not, whether you think watching a selection show is more exciting than watching Tiger, if that's the case, I can't
help Xavier
you.
Number one seed, Jim, did they get a number one?
They did.
They did. They did.
After number 10 seed, Providence beat him in the tournament.
How was the selection show, by the way? Jim? The new format.
I hated seconds. It going in. I actually loved it as it was coming out.
Really? Yeah.
How did you hate? Why would you hate that going in? It seemed like they nailed it the way they wanted to structure that.
I didn't like the idea of the structure, but the way they executed it was awesome. I thought it was great. A lot of people still hated it.
Better than golf, Hardy.
Better than golf.
Selection show.
Tiger golf.
Listen, I get a lot invested in this NCAA tournament. You got both Rhode Island schools are in it, and I'm going to the games in Boston next weekend.
How about you or I puking on their shoes yesterday?
By the way, terrible, terrible region that Boston got. They got screwed with the regions.
Ooh, who did they get?
Well, wait a minute.
Number 2 seed Purdue, number 3 seed Texas Tech, number 4 seed Wichita State.
Shockers!
Woo!
It's good they got Villanova, but the rest of the region's terrible.
We're going to the Shockers.
I think West Virginia is the 5. That's not bad.
The noontime hour is on the way after these headlines. There are no commercials here. We're right back, and we're getting right back into the NFL and free agency.